Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Vivo Power International PLC Fiscal Year 2022 Full Year Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Kevin.
Thank you, Victor, and welcome everyone to the FY22 earnings call for Vivo Power International PLC. We'll jump straight into slide two, which is the executive summary. So in a nutshell, we've made significant strategic progress over the last 12 months, but we've had to contend with quite a few headwinds, including lingering COVID effects on our businesses in Australia, as well as foreign exchange. So going through key points. Firstly, revenue declined to 37.6 million, primarily attributable to the COVID lockdowns, which we previously flagged at the half year result, which unfortunately did extend through the majority of the period over the last 6 months as well. And that caused delays to scheduled works for our business. In addition, there's been a sharp drop in the exchange rate since 2022. On a constant FX rate basis, our revenue declined by 3% year on year. In terms of gross profits, this includes the discontinued operations. They decreased by 4.7 million to 1.6 for the same reasons I mentioned before. And in addition to that, in particular, we had a $1.9 million cost overrun on the Bluegrass project due to interstate border closures in Australia. Our GP margin declined to 4% versus 16% year on year. And this in turn reflects, you know, increased compliance costs, increases in supply chain costs, as well as the one-off Bluegrass solar project cost overrun. GP margin adjusted for the cost overruns for Bluegrass was 9% for FY22, and excluding the discontinued operations was 10%. EBITDA, including discontinued operations, declined to 10.4 mil loss versus 1.4 mil loss in the previous year. Our operating loss widened to 14.6 mil versus 4.8 million in the previous year. Again, this was driven by FX, the reduced lockdown period revenues in the first half of the year, and the Bluegrass solar project overruns. We did progress with budgeted increase in growth OPEX to support hyperscaling the business. In terms of our cash balance, as at year end, it was 1.3 million, down from 8.6 mil in the previous year. However, post balance date, we replenished this to 8.9 million. That was because of the sale of the non-core business units, as well as the shelf raising we did in July. In terms of uses of cash during the year, we were quite judicious in terms of how we invest cash for Tembo scale up in product development. That said, we did incur, as I mentioned, 1.9 mil in one-off Bluegrass solar costs that were unplanned and beyond our control. We did execute on a number of transformational strategic initiatives despite significant disruptions. In terms of our distribution partnership network, we expanded that to 6 continents and 50 countries with EV commitments and orders increasing to over 8,000. Very importantly, we secured a commercial design services agreement with Toyota Australia with prioritization of the development of the next generation 8-watt-hour and version 2 battery conversion kit as the key focus. We divested non-core businesses within Avitus, and that was to enable proceeds to be reinvested in our higher growth business. And we also established Vivo Power and Tembo subsidiaries and operating units in key markets globally as soon as borders reopened. So that included the UAE, there as well as Southeast Asia. Last but not least, we recertified our B Corp status, which is a mandatory requirement from B Corp in terms of a reassessment. We were named again as one of the best B Corps in the world for governance and recognized as top 100 global impact companies year in a row by the Real Leaders Impact Awards. Turning to slide three, this is a recap of the year and as well as an update on some of the prior announcements that we made. So significant strategic and operational progress despite the headwinds that I mentioned. Key achievements included during the definitive agreement with Toyota Australia, as well as with GHH and Bodies, and winning record levels of solar electrical solutions contracts in Australia. Just going specifically to some of the previous announcements and updates on those, we had acquired full control of the U.S. solar portfolio. We rebranded that back in August 2021 and pivoted to a power-to-X strategy with a view to then launching a renewable power digital asset mining operation to be spun off company. That is on hold at the moment due to market conditions. So obviously there's been a sell-off in terms of digital mining. We have put that on hold for the time being. Other updates, we executed an LOI to acquire 100% of GB Auto. On a consensual basis, to cease that LOI, as well as the distribution agreement. And that's essentially because Tembo is now directly established in Australia, and we will proceed to selling directly in our own right. That said, GB Auto remains a trusted and valued partner as well as subcontractor. We will still be working with them in terms of the recognition of kits for the mining sector. Elsewhere, as I mentioned, we've established subsidiaries and operating units now for Tembo in key markets globally. That is very much a focus and a priority going forward in terms of scale-up assembly and production capabilities in key markets around the world, close to our customers. It doesn't make huge economic sense to assemble and manufacture out of the Netherlands and send it to far away in Australia or Asia or Africa for that matter. So that is a real focus. Going to the next slide, just in terms of key objectives that we set out at the start of the fiscal year back in July last year, we've delivered on 13 out of the 18 objectives that we've set. In terms of the ones that are still outstanding, assembly and scale-up production is still to be executed upon. It's been a challenging period with logistics and supply chain issues around the world. And I mentioned it tends to do scale up production out of Holland to send kits around the world. So we have been producing and sending kits out. They haven't hit up stage in terms of volumes of here. The other area where we have had slippages to the right is in terms of the SES business unit. So we completed feasibility studies for the Department of Hospital Partnership. That said, in terms of building our engineering and sales teams, we've not executed on that yet. Priority has been very much on the EV side of things and to focus our resources and attention on that front. That said, on a post-balance date basis, we have executed a couple of investments in joint ventures to increase our capabilities with ETFs. And that includes an investment in an Australian mining energy storage company called Green Gravity. On to the next slide. This is a quick update in terms of the team. So we've been focused in the last 6 months on reshaping the team for the next phase of strategic execution. And our HR strategy in that regard has three objectives. Number one is orientate the leadership team to capabilities in operations, product, engineering, assembly, as well as market factory. We've also wanted to strengthen our safety, quality, development, testing capabilities in Timber. And we have also executed on outsourcing middle office and back office functions to the Philippines to help us to scale but at a effective level. Some of the key hires that we've made during the year, Alan Evans has joined as Timber Head of Quality, Nathan McCormick as Timber Head of Functional Safety, as well as Testing Manager, and John Diego Bannon, who's with me on the call today, as Viva Power's Head of Corporate Development, also joined recently. Key promotions, Matthew Nestor has stepped up to the Head of Global Partnerships. He's taking over from Matt Carr, who's been instrumental in really getting Viva Power and Tembo to where we are today. But Matt will be leaving to focus on personal matters. And Matt is taking the baton and has been really instrumental in driving all the partnerships that we have secured today. Gary Challoner has been promoted to Group Chief Operating Officer and done a great job, particularly in relation to the Toyota relationship, as well as helping to internationalize Timbo in terms of its mindset, as well as focus. And Ian Foley has been promoted to Financial Controller in the Asia-Pacific region. Ian's been overseeing the Avitas operations in particular. So this recognizes his impact and growth in Connecticut. On to the next slide. We, as I mentioned, retained our B Corp and have been recognized again for global impact leadership. Importantly, we were named one of the best B Corps in governance by B Lab UK. And this is a very important attribute that as a group. Moving on to page 7, just delving into the numbers a bit more. So in terms of the Avitas critical power operations, you'll see there a breakdown between the discontinued as well as retained operations, which include the fast-growing solar segment. Operations accounted for $50.6 million of revenues, and we'll unpack that in terms of the next slide. Group GP declined, as you can see, from 6.3 mil to 1.6 mil. That includes the 1.9 mil. Of cost overruns on the Bluegrass project. And in terms of adjusted underlying, as mentioned, widened from 1.4 to 10.4 mil over the last 12 months. Moving to the next slide. So just breaking down further the P&L from a basis and reconciling that to continuing operations. So for FY22, you can see there that the discontinued operations accounted for 15.2 million of revenues. GP attributable to that was 1.3 million. For continuing operations, 22.4 mil was the revenue. And if we exclude the Bluegrass one, Barun's GP was 2.2. If you look back at the prior year, which was less COVID affected, you can see there that continuing operations, 24 mil, gross profit, 4.4 mil, which is around 18%. And as mentioned in previous announcements, we decided to sell the discontinued operations to really reinvest in the fast-growing segments, which includes the Solar Electrical Solutions business unit in Australia. So that's been retained. As a word of note, the P&L after-tax figures here are not really representative units. They're really post divesting the non-core operations. Next slide, I won't go through in detail. That just shows a reconciliation to underlying EBITDA from net loss. But we had quite a good number of non-cash items, including foreign exchange that impacted the results. Similarly, on the next slide, page 10, I won't go through that in detail either. Going to the balance sheet on page 11, project investments increased from 4.5 million to 16.4 million. That includes intangible development costs that have been capitalized in both Carrot as well as Timbo. We had our cash balance decline from 8.6 mil to 1.3 mil, but on a post-balance date former basis, it's been replenished to 8.9 million. In terms of net debt, that increased from 14.5 mil to 7.3 mil. On a pro forma basis, however, that 19.7 million post-balance dates, and most of that in terms of debt is attributable to the shareholder loan from Andrew and Holly's, which is, as mentioned before, a very supportive shareholder as well. Going to the individual business units, so firstly for Tembo, you know, we made significant progress during the year, but deliveries haven't happened. The outlook remains, you know, very positive. We get approached on a daily basis by people seeking to convert their kits, and we are, as mentioned, from a focus perspective, prioritizing the release of 72 kilowatt-hour in early calendar 23, and we expect to go into scale-up production release of that kit for late calendar 23. We're very much focused on continuing execution with respect to our micro-factory strategy and the rollout of these e-markets globally. We have identified the UAE, Southeast Asia, and Australia as markets to launch these microfactories. In addition, what we're also doing is opportunistically recruiting world-class EV talent that has become available as a result of the headcount reductions that are going on at many other EV companies. The capital that we've raised enabling us to attract talent otherwise would not have been available, certainly were not available if we rewind to 12 to 18 months ago. So we are taking advantage of the dislocation in the markets and the other EV players to add to our talent base. One development in the Middle East that just flag is that we have signed a MOU with a Jordanian state-owned enterprise which involves 1,000 EV kits over the next 5 years. And so, you know, our establishment of our presence in the UAE last year is starting to bear fruit. With regards to Toyota, partnership and relationship continues, and we're very much enjoying working with the Toyota Australia team and looking to hit the mutual objectives that we've set. In the on Avitas, protracted Australian lockdowns very much impacted our results, but the outlook is very positive. There is an unprecedented pipeline of over 27 gigawatts of solar farm projects being built across Australia at the moment, and this has been buoyed by the election of a new federal Labor government in May 2022, who are very supportive of towards more renewables across Australia. So we are very much experiencing a green rush, if you will, in Australia, very much the old rush of the 19th century. And we are targeting for our solar electrical solutions business to deliver revenues exceeding the revenues that were divested, that were contributed by the divested North Shore business unit. In terms of compound annual growth rate, that solar electrical solutions business has grown 57% year on year since FY 2019. And we have a very strong pipeline with significant opportunities to take advantage of. So looking for that to contribute in excess of what we've within a in terms of SES, we have decided to focus on the mining sector, augmenting our Tembo EV kits, as well as other industries. So we're seeing an increasing number of SES opportunities for small customers to fleet electrification solutions. And conversations have now pivoted to not just EV kits, but also on-site critical power, EV charging, EV maintenance, energy storage, microgrids, battery recycling as well. So we're focused on expanding our capabilities through partnerships and joint ventures. And as mentioned before, we've made a seed investment in Green Gravity and energy storage business in Australia focused on the mining. And that will help expand our capabilities as well as opportunities in terms of in terms of carrots, we created incremental value over the year through development activities, but very much feel there's more to come from the Inflation Reduction Act, which is very positive for carrot solar. There is renewed focus on data infrastructure, including for digital asset mining. And we are seeing more inbound interest in partnerships involving our various solar projects. So notwithstanding the digital asset mining correction that we've had over the last 6 months, we are still pushing ahead with our power to X strategy, albeit time that appropriately as far as any investment. Overall, the plan is to spin off this business unit and to reinvest proceeds into our core EV as well as our SES and solar. Turning to FY23 and our key objectives, so focus is on scale-up assembly and production for our EV kits. I won't go through every single item here, but again, there's 18 items that we're targeting executing on. The micro factory is a key element and a key enabler of the scale up of assembly and production. Just to touch on page 17, events post financial year end. So we've had a solid start to FY23. So we secured 1,000 new kits in terms of EV commitments from a Jordanian state-owned enterprise, as I mentioned before. We have, however, put on pause the Arctic Truck LOI, given our need to very much focus on the Toyota Australia and Land Cruiser. Arctic Truck is focused on Hilux, which we very much intend to electrify as well, but just given resource and time commitments, we do need to focus on Toyota Australia as well as the Land Cruiser, which is what most of distributors and customers want. We obviously executed on strategic transactions to bolster our cash balance at 8.9 mil, in divesting the non-core business units as well as completing the offering on NASDAQ. We are capitalizing on opportunities to hire world-class EV talent and take advantage of the mini EV winter that's happening with many other companies at the moment. We're one of very few that are still in hiring mode, but we're doing it on a very selective and judicious basis. Very importantly, we secured important ESG certifications and awards. This is with Intro Electrical as well as Timbo. We've reorientated the GB Auto relationship post Australia. As mentioned, this involves ceasing the distribution agreement and the letter of intent to acquire GB Auto, but they very much remain a valued and preferred partner for Timbo for subcontracting purposes. And last but not least, we've engaged advisors in relation to Carriage spin-off. The Inflation Reduction Act is real positive, we're looking to spin off Carriage as a power to act business and reinvest the proceeds back into Vivo Power. That's it for my presentation. There have been a number of questions sent through, and we've had with the audio this presentation. So I might just address those questions that have come through. So one of those questions is, because EVs and underground mining is relatively new, is Vivo involved with helping write safety guidelines for battery electric vehicles and underground mines through your previous trials? If not directly involved, are you working with such as the Global Mining Guidelines Group, you're up to date with new guidelines so that customers can be compliant or certified with current guidelines? The short answer is yes. We have one of the world's foremost mining safety experts advising us in relation to safety requirements for mines, particularly underground. So yes, we are, you know, deeply entrenched in terms of ensuring that electric vehicle conversions are safe. You know, that is the absolute number one priority and consideration for our customers in the mining sector as well as for us. The second question is, does the 70 series have digitalization features to allow for location and status capabilities to help manage vehicle fleets when inside mines? And what are you doing to make sure you're on top of technology within the mines as battery electric vehicles are being used more and more? Are you looking for ways to create new technologies or making sure the technologies are compatible with ones created by companies like ABB? This is a great question, and the short answer is yes. You know, some of these theories can accommodate digitization features that allow for geolocation, status tracking, and that is very much data that's important for the miners. And in terms of our software, including telemetry, this very much designed to capture some data. And yes, we are always looking for ways to create new technologies, new IP. And so the short answer to that is yes. Next question is, knowing the demand for the 70 series is high, combined with supply chain and semiconductor shortages, is still having ripple effects. How's the Toyota pause on the 70 series affecting your production? Have there been conversations with Toyota to produce only the necessary components of the 70 series to speed up the installation and production kits? Could something like this help Toyota to ship the 70 series out faster? And is this a possible solution to help streamline production? Again, a great question. Obviously, you know, Toyota is the gatekeeper in terms of releasing vehicles, their own vehicles. And with respect to the 70 series, I think it's fair to say, without breaching confidence, we are comfortable, you know, in terms of what's available to meet short-term requirements, especially in Australia, where most of the demand is coming from at the moment. We will continue to work very closely with Toyota to ensure mutually that our objectives are met. So at this moment, we don't see an issue in the short term. I think in terms of medium term, we're all expecting that the supply chain and semiconductor that's coming on stream, particularly in relation to semiconductors. So short term, we don't envisage a real issue. In medium term, yes, it's contingent upon supply chain and semiconductors. Next question is, can you confirm or deny whether the Tembo kit broke Ina Nomita during testing, this I think came out in a well-respected publication a few months ago. Again, without sort of breaching confidences, we have not put out a statement to deny that, nor has any other party involved. I think we're very confident in the. Of our kits, fair to say that once Land Cruiser has a kit inside, it becomes a very powerful animal. The torque is amazing, and for those who are into off-road driving, as I am, you would appreciate the effect of EV torque on an off-road vehicle. Next question is, when are you expecting to buy shares? I made a commitment that I would. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, I have been not able to because of information that we've had, you know, for most of the last 6 months, where we've had, you know, deals and transactions and our agreements that have been delayed in terms of being able to announce and therefore not being able to buy. So I have committed for my salary to be directed to shares. Once we're in an open window, I will be buying, I haven't been able to in the blackout period. So that has changed, and as I mentioned before, this is very much a long mission that the team is very determined to. Successfully deliver on and to help our customers help the impact on business and really deliver. Those were the key questions. I think we'll wrap up on that basis. Obviously, if there's other questions, feel free to reach out to the shareholders at Vivo Power's line. We have a dedicated person now fielding that. Thank you for joining the call.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.